Hey loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com. Welcome to the good life, Betty Boo, my AKA my Superman.
Hi
Betty
there.
Boo.
Good morning, everybody. Hello.
Good morning. Everybody wants to see you and hear your voice. They're like, we love it when Betty comes on and banters with you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
I know. Well, welcome, everybody. Is school ending now?
We have another week and a half, I believe. Yeah.
I'm so out of that realm right now that I'm like,
yeah, I have a
but
few more
what?
Years.
But guess what? We're live from Lake Havasu.
Ooh, that sounds like
Havasu.
A good
Havasu.
Place to be.
You yeah. get that? Havasu.
I got it. I got it. Well played. It's the little things. It's the simple
it's
little
so
things.
Oh my God. I thought that was so funny. I mean, why wouldn't you want to just laugh at yourself?
Were you waiting like all morning to say it to you? Like,
of course. You know, I wish I could even say it, but it like came out as I'm speaking. I'm like, oh, that's funny. Have a Sue.
It works.
Oh, I hope we're giving you some comedy relief. Oh my God. Love you guys. Welcome. Sue here. Tapped in and turned on to life. Clarity with Sue. We are getting you clear on who you are, how you're showing up in the world. We are going to start today with, it's an inside job. It's an awareness practice. Your awareness practice is an inside job. Today, it's going to be short and brief. I was guided to talk about trust in self. Ask yourself, do I trust my choices? Do I trust my decisions? Do I have expectations on other people because I don't know how to trust myself or I don't know who I am or how I'm showing up in the world? So that provides expectations on other people and it puts a lot of pressure on other people to show up. And then you have resentments, right? So it's really important that you gain massive awareness and clarity on who you are and how you're showing up in the world. Really kind of diagnose and, you know, you guys have heard me talk about trying on different hats, metaphorically speaking, of your personality, your values, your personal code of conduct. Really lean into that and have a hyper awareness of how you are showing up. And if you do trust yourself in those choices, with those people, with those environments, that is our daily awareness practice. It is an inside job today. I love you guys. We have got an amazing guest today. Well, I mean, come on. We always have an amazing guest. But today is Nina Mann Olson, is a body peace coach. She helps people end the war with food and body and finally feel truly at home in their bodies. I cannot wait to have this conversation and truly feel home in their body as it is. She is known for her deep feminist anti-diet body peace approach. She brings over 30 years of experience as a therapist, national board certified health and wellness coach, body trust guide and psychology of eating, teacher to helping women create a respectful and trusting relationship with their body and food. Miss Nina, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a delight to be here with you, Sue, truly.
Such a passionate conversation, you know.
Yes.
Yes, we've done the formal bio. My audience knows this. We want to get to know you, your why, you know, where you started with this. And then let's jump in and really navigate this conversation because it's so important. Speaking from my own experience too. Oh.
Really speaking for all of us, our relationship with our body really impacts every relationship we have in our life. How we feel about ourselves, it's how we show up in our lives, right? And the reason that I do body peace work is really because I was the expert at body war. I was the expert at what I call compare and despair. Oh, she's thinner. Oh, how'd she lose that weight? Oh, she can wear the skinny jeans. right? I was always, what diet am I starting tomorrow? Well, I blew it today, so it doesn't really matter. So I'll just eat whatever and tomorrow I'll start again, right? I was on it for decades until I was so literally bored with the whole conversation in my head that was critical, aggressive, and frankly went nowhere, because all it did was put me on this cycle of dieting that fundamentally doesn't work, right? The research tells us 95% of people who go on diets gain their weight back in 2 to 5 years, not just gain their weight back, gain more weight back, right? So this whole technology of dieting and restriction, and we know this because we've all done it, but it doesn't work. It's not sustainable. We've all seen the before and after pictures, and yes, but it worked for her. But what we're seeing is actually a snapshot of her roller coaster being on and off the diet, right? And this moment where she's really proud, look, I lost 30 pounds, but we don't see her 2 years later where she's not posting and feeling so much shame about her body. So really, we want to change this relationship that we have with food and our body that is aggressive and that is really the war. And that's what I'm all about.
Oh, I love this conversation. And it's I'm a product of an 80s kid. And I say that because in the 80s, my hang up and my narrative in my head is the Twiggy. And I am an hourglass woman.
Curvy girl.
I am just completely hourglass. However, I still have that narrative in my head. Oh, you're not skinny enough. You're not Twiggy enough, right?
And Sue, what you're saying is so important, is to listen. What is the narrative? What's the story we're telling ourselves? And that's a big, good place to start our healing journey with our food and body. And
it's
just
awareness.
Like, it's awareness. It is 100% awareness. What am I telling myself? Am I telling myself my body, my genetics, the way that my body is, and probably the family that I come from, is that body shape is not okay. And what's okay is Twiggy. What's okay is J-Lo's body. What's okay is Beyonce's body. Whatever the story is you're telling yourself, who are you comparing yourself to? Because as soon as we're doing that comparison, we are out of our body. Right there, we are in somebody else's body. We're doing what I call body hopping, right?
Body hopping.
Oh, let me be in her body because her body is better. Her body is, more toned or whatever. Whatever the BS is that we have going on in there, that's the narrative that we're telling our story. And one of the things I don't know if I said to you is I write body poems. I write poems about our relationship with our body. I started doing it years ago, partly because my kids are slam poets. And so it became the vocabulary of our family. But I have a poem I really want to share with you, Sue, if it's okay.
Oh, yes. You didn't share that with us. Thank you.
Yeah. So this is, it just came to me because it's called Body Hopping. So it's literally about what we're talking about. So here it is, body hopping. Her body is tall and lean. It's better in her body. All the clothes fit. All the people love her more. She loves herself more. Her body is petite and buff. It's better in her body. All the yoga clothes fit just so. She posts pictures of herself. She walks with body confidence. Her body is curvy in all the right places. She walks with sensuality. She feels sexy. And your body? Is your body hard to live in, sometimes hard to be at ease in? So you body hop, skip into her body and hers, because you imagine that living in her body is better. If you lived in her body, if you hopped into her skin, if you forced your body into her shape, then you would be happier. Life would be better. Here's what I can tell you from working with women and their relationship with their bodies for almost 30 years. It's not happier in her body. Her body has its own stuff, its own struggle, its own journey. It may not be a journey that wrestles with food and shape. Her opportunities for growth and learning may come in the shape of relationships, career, alcohol, or the myriad of other life challenges. Hopping into her body isn't the answer. Trying to have her body won't get you where you want to be. Yes, staying in your body can sometimes be hard. There are feelings that feel impossible to bear, thoughts that are vicious. But practicing being in your body, because it is a practice, will bring you back to your own wisdom and show you your own magnificence.
Boom! Drop the mic. I love that. So many things were running through my head. I love that, and I'm gonna put a pin in that in my head, going, babe, you're body hopping. Don't do that. I body hop when I grocery shop. I body hop when I put on clothes. Mm-hmm. I body hop, you know, and I have to, and it's that comparison, right? And what I have
compare and despair. Yep.
What I have started to do is, I'm not comparing. What I'm saying is, look at that queen. She's owning it, right? So there's that, there's a whole different energy and frequency and conversation that I'm having with myself and the other person, right?
Yes. Yeah. And if we can get to that place of uplifting other women, yeah, it's so powerful. If you can't get there yet, try, wow, there's another human being. Be a little more neutral about it. Yeah. Oh, look, another human being in a body. Congratulations to them. If you can't get to, wow, how awesome are they? And that's possible for me because you're in a place of anxiety or fear or depression or just the depths of compare and despair, coming to neutral. Oh, they have a body. I have a body. Yep. That's the human condition. If we're lucky.
Let's have that conversation. Cause I think the audience went, whoa, wait a minute. People have despair and anxiety in those moments and can't function. Can we have that conversation? Because when you're in the trauma response, you're in the fear response, regardless of what that trauma response or that anxiety is, when you're in that, there's the coping mechanisms are gone, right? So, and then the shame comes in, and then it's a spiral, and then it's a rabbit hole and all this conversations within herself.
Right. Because what you're talking about, Sue, is so important. It's nervous system.
Yep.
Right. We're talking about nervous system. So if we're, so just basic science, right? Two strands of nervous system, sympathetic nervous system. The way I remember it's sympathetic is it's not very sympathetic. It's fight or flight. It's I'm being chased by a tiger. It's fight, flight, flop, flee, fawn. Those are all the fight or flight responses.
And that could be a red light. That could be an in-law. That could be a bill. That could be looking at yourself in the mirror.
Right. For many women, it's getting dressed in the morning.
Yeah.
They open their closet and they're already in an antagonistic relationship and their closet is beating up on them.
You know what I call that? I call that the shoulda, coulda, woulda is all over myself. When my closet is not representing who I am and how I want to show up.
Yes.
It stresses me out. I shoulda, coulda, woulda all over myself. I'm like, okay, time to pull the
yes.
weeds.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So we've got on one side, we've got sympathetic nervous system, not so sympathetic, fight or flight. Other side, parasympathetic. That's tend and befriend. That's pina colada on the beach. That's I'm chill. It's all good, right? When we're in sympathetic, that fight or flight, we don't feel safe.
No.
Right? And so it's hard when we're in that, oh my gosh, tiger is chasing me. My closet is attacking me. My jeans are being aggressive with me. It's really hard to go, you know what? I'm going to be really kind with myself because we're in this, oh, how do I survive? And our critical mind comes into really like, oh my gosh, I know what I need to do. I need to get on the next diet. Wait, I just saw an ad, 7 pounds in 7 days. That's what I'm going to do. Even though our rational mind and our lived experience is that the past 500 diets that we've tried haven't worked so well, that's the actual reality. But no, we need to survive, right? And we get scared and we shut down and we go into default behavior. Some of that could be dieting. Some of that could be using food to soothe. And again, I have no judgment about using food to soothe. We're doing it because we're trying to survive. Some of it is, oh my gosh, I recognize this stressful environment. This is like what I grew up with. And I know how I survived that. Ice cream. Ice cream will soothe me so that I can survive through this experience. So why are we criticizing ourselves?
Is that like comfort food or is it more like safety food?
Both and all of the above.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Soothing. Regardless, it's soothing.
It's soothing. It's trying to dial our nervous system down. And then to add insult to injury, we get down on ourselves for doing it. I can't believe I ate that. I should have known better. And then we feel bad. Then we've given ourselves a great big shame attack and implosion. Ouch.
No, we don't want that. And Nina, I know this conversation is so powerful because it brings in awareness and the awareness to we're all walking in it in different shapes and sizes, similar to the conversation about inside job at the top of the hour. It's trusting yourself, yes, and really knowing who you are and how you're showing up. And having trust within your own beautiful body, be the queen and the king that you are. If you want to try in a different hat, try it on. Right? Yeah.
The tricky bit there is that many of us were trained out of trusting our body for a lot of different reasons. Ooh, right?
Yes.
So many of us, right? We can say, oh, and it's one of my things is I am a body trust guide, but we can't just flick a switch and now I'm going to trust my body when it hasn't been a very safe place. We were told as kids, you know, really, who knows better? Your parents know better. Who knows better? Your doctors know better. Who knows better? Your teachers know better. And some of those, for many of us, unfortunately, some of those authority figures did not treat our bodies well. Yeah. And there was trauma, or there was just aggressiveness, or there was a, you don't know yourself, here, go on X diet, or do this many push-ups, or push beyond your limits. And so this symbiotic, listening, caring, compassionate, trusting relationship with our body was ruptured. And then we're like, wait, I'm just supposed to listen and be intuitive eating and just know what I don't know. Well, of course you don't know. There was a huge rupture. And it's interesting because when I get on planes and I, you know,
wait,
travel,
that was really important. Of course you don't know. You don't know.
Of course
what
you don't know.
Of course you don't know.
You don't know.
That's okay.
You don't know, but it's learnable.
Yes.
It is learnable. And it is. It's so important, Sue, what you said. Of course it's okay. Of course it's okay to be like, it's hard for me to trust. And I shouldn't just snap.
And that's a
right?
first step right there, recognizing I don't trust. And you know what? That's okay. Now I can work on it. Now I can get a solution. Now I can get the tools.
Totally. Right.
And
when I'm on a plane and people say, so what do you do? Like, I don't say I'm a body trust guide because who knows what the heck that is. So what I say is I'm a couples therapist, except instead of working with a woman and her partner, I work with a woman and her body. Because when we don't trust, just like in a committed relationship, or not so committed relationship, right? There's a rupture of trust. We go to a couples counselor. How do we build this back? So it's just the same. Women come to me and go, I am in distrust with my body. This is not working. This is a relationship where we're fighting all the time. We're blaming all the time. We're shaming all the time. How do I make this work? And it is workable. It is healable. And that is more than anything I want people to know wherever they are in their journey. If they're in that, I hate my body. I can't figure out food. This is so frustrating. Something's wrong with me. I'm broken. That does not have to be that. We can actually heal that relationship just like we can heal any other primary relationship in our life.
Interesting that I was so guided to talk about trust at the top of the hour too.
Mm-hmm.
And it is such a trust, but even backing up to that, you've got to back up and have the awareness of what's going on and then after the awareness, not having the shames and the guilt, right? There's a word that I use in my teachings called the CCs, compassionate curiosity. It's one of my little superpower tools. I get really compassionate and really curious. Okay, babe, love you. What's going on here?
Yes.
What's really going on? And then being able to have compassion for myself, equilibrium, as best that I can, right? Get that nervous system calm enough to where I can at least step forward and then make choices. You don't have to make choices in that second. You just don't.
Right. You just don't. And that ability to slow down, to really just be like, okay, what is happening? And I love that you call that the CCs, right? Compassionate curiosity. There was, I lived for a bunch of years in a yoga ashram, and somebody asked the head guy there, the guru said, so what's the most powerful spiritual practice? And he had two answers, both of which I love. The first one was that I laughed hysterically. He said, it's the one that you actually do, which I think is quite brilliant. But he said, the second one is, right? It's like, it doesn't matter. People are always like, well, you know, if I do this and this and this, I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, what will you actually do? Like, let's talk about what's possible, what's doable, right? So there's that piece. And then the second thing he said is observation without judgment. And that's exactly what you're saying, Sue. Compassionate curiosity, right? Observation without judgment. Oh, I just ate the entire thing of ice cream. Okay, what's going on here? Well, I got really scared. I had a stressful day. I wanted to calm down. I just felt like I wasn't being heard. This is the only way I could take care of my, whatever it is, let's just be with it. Because if we jump into the judgment, oh my gosh, I can't believe I ate it. I'm bad. Tomorrow I'm going on a diet. I hate myself. We don't show up for ourselves or for the world in the way that we want. And I really believe that as women, we have more important things to do than to obsess over what we ate and how much we weigh.
Yeah. And no thanks to the media and society that personifies, but I will say they've gotten a lot better. They're getting better. You know, they really, really are, because you know, just like in life, just like in personalities and in hats, everybody's different shapes, sizes, tweaks, twerks, all the stuff, and trusting ourselves with self-love and getting to that equilibrium, getting to that homeostasis where we can, instead of the trauma state, speaking of personal experience, coming from and living in, you know, you don't know what you don't know because you're in the muck of it and you're trudging through it, right? Doing the best that you can. And I say that from a personal experience, and I also say that to advocate for the audience, that when you're in the in of it, when you're in the muck of it, just it best that you can, just like you were talking about, Nina, getting back to homeostasis and calming yourself down. You don't need to make a choice. You know, take a nap, lay down, meditate, walk. Mm-hmm. What is your tool? What is your tool to get you to that homeostasis? Maybe it's the garden. Maybe it's doing the dishes. What is it, right?
To know slow what? The action.
No, go ahead, Nina. So let's do this. This is feels like a good break right here. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. Remember everybody, we are live on YouTube still. So if you want to join us over there and see us noodling and having a conversation, all you got to do is go to YouTube and type in 1150 AM and you're going to see us there. Please, if you'd like to make any comments, do that. You know how to DM me, all that good information. We'll try and get your questions answered. I almost said answered questions, but whatever. We'll be right back after commercial break, you guys. Love you. Hi guys, Sue here with Clarity with Sue, claritywithsue.com. 15 years in radio, solid reputation, creating a conscious collaboration with an aligned message. If you would like to be represented with a high integrity, let's have a conversation about sponsorship. Let's get your name and your product out to the masses. Email me at sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
It's time that you are heard, and I don't mean in just a conversation. I mean really heard. Imagine hosting your very own radio program on Alternative Talk 1150. Talk about being heard. Call 425-653-1150 right now to learn how affordable it can be to host your own radio show. Time slots are going fast, so take hold of this chance by dialing 425-653-1150. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
Hi, this is United States Secretary of Labor Marty Walsh. If you're experiencing lingering symptoms of COVID-19 or long COVID, you are not alone. The U.S. Department of Labor is committed to supporting you during your recovery and our nation's recovery. You may be entitled to temporary or long-term accommodations that can help you stay on the job or return to work when you're ready. To learn more, contact Job Accommodation Network at askjan.org. That's askjan.org.
Hey everyone, Sue Lundquist here with Clarity with Sue, and that's claritywithsue.com. I am talking to you about going from checked out to tapped in. Set your team up and apart from others and create a culture to be proud of. Help your team find its purpose. I'm going to talk about morale, three phases of transformation, those little nicks in the wire, your beliefs, and really getting present so you have the resilience, so you can engage and you can have intentional living. This provides the purpose your team is desiring. Let's get you tapped in and on a unified front with appreciation and building an aligned team and its morale. Simply email me, sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back, everybody. Pacific Northwest live in the Pacific Northwest. If you're joining us later in the podcast world and YouTube world, hello, Mexico. Hello, Australia. UK, Croatia, I love you. Of course, I love hearing from you guys. Keep it up. Let me know your questions and I'll get you some answers. I've got Nina. We're talking about body and imagery and self-love and self-trust, really navigating what that really means to us as our individual beautiness, my language, not Nina's. And during the break, we were talking about tools that we can use to help us get out of that state. You guys know one of my biggest tips and tools to change my neural pathways is, you know, to change my energy and my frequency is YouTubing babies and baby puppies and babies giggling, that pure giggle and the puppy's breath and all of that. That raises my frequency and mm-hmm. changes everything. And Nina's nodding her head yes for mm-hmm. the radio world. Totally. Yeah, absolutely. So we were having this conversation on YouTube and Nina was talking about how important imagery is. So yeah. Nina, let's talk about that on the radio here.
Yeah. So one of the things that I hear a lot from women is, you know, all I'm seeing is images of very slim women and influencers who are telling me, you know, what exercise to do and what I should be eating. And so all the images that are coming to them are of women in smaller bodies. And on the flip side, they're also getting diets, right, on Facebook being advertised to them.
That's the algorithms that are following you, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. And we can actually change this algorithm. We can impact it by searching for different things. So I do it differently on different platforms. On Facebook, when the ads start coming to you for diets, click on report this ad. It'll say, do you want to see more of this? Do you want to see less of this? Is this, and say, I want to block this. And then it'll say why, and you write irrelevant. And you do it over and over and over again to the point where Facebook is like, they don't want these.
This is a great metaphor for life.
Yes. It is, pathway. Right? What are we putting in our brain? The other thing is start searching other things. So my favorite is I think Fluvog shoes. It's just a little passion of mine. I search Fluvog shoes. Fluvog shoes happens to be expert at putting ads on every platform. So wherever I go, now I'm on Facebook, there's shoes. There's not diets. There's cute shoes.
Now, let's do cute shoes.
I'm like, shoes are pretty neutral for me. So I'm like, those are cute. I don't need more shoes right now, but those are cute.
Yeah.
So it clutters your Facebook advertising space with something that you think is interesting or entertaining. It doesn't have to be shoes. It can be whatever the heck you want. But
that raises your vibration and emotion.
Right.
And
that yeah. makes it right. That makes fun. It fun or whatever it is for you, but that doesn't add stress. On Instagram, start following people who are plus size models and plus and you know, some of the words that are worth looking for are fat activism, fat positive, mid-size models, body trust.
Real models.
Right.
And I don't
real
mean,
models.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't mean that to shame the, you know, but still it's the media that personifies it, but just.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you start getting images of women who are in bodies that look like the women that actually live around us more than this super, you know, highly idealized version of the female body. So it's so important because when we see that, it normalizes our body shape and our
body
uniqueness.
Image, our body neural pathway, right?
Yes, we start to look at, oh, bodies come in many sizes. Bodies change in many ways. Bodies can dress themselves in all kinds of ways, right? I don't have to diet down to a size X to be able to wear clothes that I love, right? I don't have to hide my body. I don't have to wear things that, you know, are tense where I feel shame, or I don't have to end up in the back of the picture because I can't be visible. When we see women in all sizes and shapes, in all bodies, in different kinds of clothing and style, we go, you know what? We can show up just the way we are. That's okay. I can be me out in the world. And we need you to be out in the world being you. It's important.
Out in the world being you. It's important. There's so much, you know, I feel within this conversation that in, you know, and it, before we went on commercial break, we were at the top of the hour, we were talking about in that moment of anxiety. And what comes to my mind, Nina, are photographs, pictures, like you were just saying, stepping back behind everybody so you don't show your full self.
Yeah.
In those moments, instead of shutting down, instead of going dark from your heart, dark from your mind, all of that, how can we offer tips and tools and love and compassion to our beautiful queens of the world to say, you know what, you stand there big and beautiful. And I mean big and beautiful from a big heart standpoint. You show up big, small, purple, orange, green, however you want. You are a queen. You show up big, bold, and beautiful. So how can we give them some more mindset?
Yeah.
Like tips.
So,
and-
yeah. So one practical thing to think about, especially with photographs, is to think about the future and your kids or your cousins or all the next generation, whatever that is, looking at pictures going, where was my mom? Where was my grandmother? Like, why isn't she in any of the pictures? Right? We make ourselves invisible. And it happens also as we age, our culture makes us invisible. But again, the world needs what we have to offer, and they need to know that you are there. And so showing up in a picture, even if when you look at that picture later, your critical mind, you notice I didn't say you, it's your critical mind. Your critical mind comes in and starts to be like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that. Then you start to work with that critical mind. Yeah, it's a picture. It's a specific angle. It may not be the most perfect angle for my body to make me look the way that I see myself. But this was a moment in time. And does it trigger me? Does it push my buttons of how I wish I looked? Maybe. But this is me, right? This is me in this moment. That's where that, again, that compassionate curiosity. Here I am in this moment in time. And can I be kind to myself, right? And then, of course, comes a lot of issues, right? Yes, but I wish I was this. I wanted, here I am at this reunion. I wished I had been 20 pounds thinner and I had lost the weight. Then we can feel that. There's a huge amount of grief that comes with being in a body, right? Bodies age, bodies change, bodies fluctuate with weight, bodies get injured, bodies have illnesses, right?
You know what? That's a really good conversation. Go ahead. But I wanted talk about, I want to put a pin in it, but cancer survivors. So let's just come back to that, please.
Yes, go ahead, yes, Nina. Yes, absolutely. So one of the things that we need to look at is, oh, this is my body in this moment. And yeah, do I have grief? Do I wish I had that body that I used to have? Do I wish I could, you know, in the future change who I am? Sure, there's grief, there's loss. And here I am. This is my reality. That's what being more neutral in our relationship with our body. It's why I don't actually call it my work body love. I call it body peace, because I think being like, I love my body, and being what I call being an enthusiast doesn't ring true. I literally tried for 10 years in the mirror to like Louise Hay myself. I love my body. I love my body. I love my body.
Your body knows when you're BSing it too.
I was completely, my body was like, you so don't. That is not the truth. Right. And so that's not it. It's not right. Like, I hate my body. I feel so much shame. And now I get to press the button and fly over to body love. It's not how it works.
No.
We actually have to unpack the authentic relationship we have with our body and do the healing work.
And you had said this earlier, it is a process. And audience, you've heard me say this many times before. Before shiitake hits the fan, you have to have a process put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Nina is talking about specifically. And having a process. My big anchor words for me, Nina, are authentic and genuine. It just goes thunk. Is this authentic and genuine to me, my source, my
yes.
soul, my BODY?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
And if it is, then I'm moving forward and I can adhere to it and integrate it. So let's have the conversation around, because I have some audience members that are paraplegics. I have some that have MS and are cancer survivors. So can we have that conversation around that as well?
How do I be in relationship with a complex body, with a body that has very unique needs, with a body that requires more care than Joe Schmo walking down the street, right? And that is just like if we had somebody who we loved in our life who required extra attention, some extra support, a little more scaffolding, a little more tenderness, a little extra in the place of like, wow, you've been through a lot. That's how we want to be with our body. We want to be in that, hey, it's me and my buddy, my body. We want to be in, we're holding hands. We are allies. We are in a collaborative experience. And yes, our road may have been hard. Our road may have been full of injury, illness, particular needs that we have because we were born that way, whatever it is. But yes, and how do I be my own best teammate here versus what our culture says is to create an adversarial relationship, what I call body management. Be controlling here. And I once heard actually a colleague of mine, and it broke my heart. She said, I teach women how to manage their body like they were a project at work. And I was like, okay, my body is not a project and I don't want to be managed. So no,
no,
no, no. Right. I tried that for many, many decades with X diet, Y diet, Z diet, all of the diets. And really managing and controlling, all it does is put us into resistance and put us into rebellion and fight against our authentic desire for autonomy in our body.
Audience, and so, did you hear that? Authentic autonomy in our body. I always spell out body because it's not who I am. It is the vessel that I'm in. And but there's a separation. Like you said at the top of the hour, you were talking about having that awareness and just looking. What did you call it? You called it the analogy, looking at your body without judgment and shame.
Awareness without judgment.
Awareness without judgment. Yes.
Absolutely. So we really want to be in this connected relationship with our body, right? If you take nothing away from this conversation, the one thing I'd want you to take is this is a relationship. And this is the most important relationship of your life, because
I think that quick, because I think that just shifted for everybody. It's a relationship, not a management.
It is absolutely a relationship. It's the longest relationship you're in your whole life. You're born in this body and you will die in this body. And when I teach to women and I say, so when you're feeling like really like good in your body, like you're feeling all that, what happens in your life? Women say, I'm more extroverted. I'm more vocal at work. I am show up in the pictures. I'm more social. My relationship is better. I'm more sensual. I'm more sexual. I'm more physically active. I feel better. My mood is better. And then when I say, when you don't feel good in this relationship, when you're in that adversarial, there's something wrong with me. My body's broken. I hate it. I can't stand what I look like. None of my clothes fit. What happens in your body? What happens in your life? Oh, well, the door's shut. I don't go out. I don't go to the pool party. I don't hang out with friends. I don't want to eat with my girlfriends because, you know, I don't know like what I should eat and what I shouldn't in public.
And they're staring at me because I'm eating a French fry.
Right. All of that stuff. Right. So our lives get smaller.
Yeah.
And so this relationship with your body, it changes every part of your relationship. So it's a relationship worth working on, just like you would work on the most important relationships of your life.
Yep. Oh, I think there was a huge paradigm shift in the energy that we were talking about, that because it's a relationship and really honoring, owning, and taking responsibility for that relationship. And, you know, changing that mindset of you're not managing, you are relating with compassionate curiosity with your body. And then of course, as beautiful women, I know we talked about MS, cancer, and paraplegic, and there's also hormones that come into play as well. An audience, Nina's shaking her head. Yes.
There's some powerful research that Margot Maine talks about, and she talks about there are two times in a woman's life where we're most susceptible to disordered eating and eating disorders. And this is important because it really shines a light on when we're moving into fertility, right? As teenagers, our bodies are changing. There's natural weight gain, but our culture says, no. You should still look like you did when you're 11 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And our bodies are changing, and girls start to diet and they start to overexercise and they start to learn that management model. And then the other time is when we're leaving fertility, perimenopause, menopause, because again, huge natural change of hormones that impacts the distribution of fat in our body, how we are able to metabolize our body, how our sleep is doing, how our mood is doing.
Yes.
And those things feel out of control. And what do we want to do? Let me manage that. Let me get that back into control. Let me look like I did when I was, 21 years old. And again, in comes the control. And so we're more susceptible to get caught in the disordered eating. And the reality is around disordered eating is the most likely outcome is weight gain and eating disorders.
And disordered eating includes,
and that includes dieting, just by the by. People think disordered eating is binging, nighttime eating, secret eating, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I include in disordered eating hyper management of your food. Oh my God, I can't believe it. How much should I eat? Should I weigh that? How many grams? That's disordered eating.
Okay, so hold on here. Because I have I have conversations with myself. I walk through what I've eaten. Have I had enough protein? It's kind of like having a child within myself. Because I know my body, it needs protein. Yeah. It needs this stuff. And I feel that it's a healthy conversation. Although there are times where I'll slip and I'll be like, oh, you shouldn't have eaten that. Okay, babe, we'll figure it out. You're fine. You know, being able to have, again, the CCs, compassionate curiosity, and having that, I just don't want not only myself or other listeners to think, well, I have a process in place where and I'm trying not to use the word manage. I have a process in place where I am aware of what I'm eating and I'm not putting shame into what I'm eating. Please.
Yes. Yeah. But that's exactly that's the difference, right?
Okay.
Is there shame in it? In a day, I'm like, some days I'll be like really busy and I'll, you know, have a breakfast, have a lunch. And then I'm like, I don't think I ate a vegetable today. I'm like, my body would like a vegetable. That would be a good idea. Yeah. Right. Just like what I hear, like right now, like, oh, my voice is a little scratchy. I need a little water. Our body's always cueing us to what do we need? And that's not shame based. Right. There'll be sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a day I ate a lot of food. Must have been a hungry day. OK, moving on.
Yeah, Yes. That was a big food day for me. My body must.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of,
that
oh,
was
my
a big
gosh,
sugar day.
Right. But when it's not laden with shame.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, look, there's a body eating food. Congratulations. Bodies do that. I cannot tell you how many times a week I say humans require food. You are a human. Therefore, you require food because so many women think if I just eat less, life will be better. That's not how human bodies work. We actually require food to do well.
Oh, Nina, such a powerful conversation. Can we offer the contrast, the awareness of, okay, guys, if you've got foggy brain, if your breath is bad, if you're, you know, some kind of contrast of awareness saying, there's something going on with your eating or lack of eating that you need to alter, you know what I'm saying? Because I know
so there's so there's a lot of cues, and one of the big ones is there's a lot of like symptoms that to me often say, you know what, we need to be adding food here. And one of them is I come home at night and I can't stop eating. That's the biggest one I see. There are other ones, you know, skin, nails, all those kind of things, but the big one that I hear is I don't know why I'm binging at night. I don't know why I'm eating way into the night. I don't know why I'm waking up and eating. I'm like, let's reel back to breakfast, snack, lunch, snack. Anything happen there? Right? Oh, I was busy at work, or I was eating those prepared meals and they're like 300 calories each, or whatever the heck the story is, or I don't think I should snack at all, right? Whatever the rules are. So often in that place of I'm overeating over here, I'm like, what happened over here? Right? What happened earlier? What happened when during the day when our body needs fuel? Did you feed her?
And the types of fuel that your body needs.
Yes, right.
And that will because evolve and change how you change and hormones and babies and all of that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Nina, we have a few more minutes left, and I know we wanted to get you out of here a little bit earlier. Let's talk about how people can get a hold of you, what you're offering, and go ahead, stage is yours.
So the best place to reach me is my website, bodypeacewithnina.com. You can also look for ninamadison.com, but that's more complicated to spell. So Body Peace with Nina, all one word, works really well. Bodypeacewithnina.com. And there's a really powerful tool that I highly recommend. It's free, and it's 20 questions that I would ask you if you were sitting in a session with me. They're questions about, how is your relationship with your food? How is your relationship with your body? How did that happen? Let's hear a little bit about your body story. So there's 20 questions to support you in journeying into, how's this relationship going for you that we've been talking about? And in that Practicing Body Peace journal, which is free, there's 5 of my poems too, to just kind of inspire you to start thinking, how am I talking to my body? How's this conversation going? So that's where I recommend that you start. It's a very, it's pretty, it's user-friendly, and you can absolutely just download that in an instant. And if you're a social media person, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm in all those social media places as Nina Madison, and I'd love to connect.
Yes, absolutely. So things that I learned today is not having shame and guilt going into that conversation. I'm standing in the mirror, trying on clothes, looking at magazine, TV, not like I watch TV, but ads, or just my own self narrative and pictures and photographs. Whether you have, you know, a normal body, I see normal body as the gamut, right? Meaning it's a normal body. However, there are other bodies that need extra processes, the MS, the cancers, the paraplegics, all of that. And I say that and my voice and tone changes. It's about having compassion and love for your body, however it is. You don't go to a hat and put it on. You're like, oh, I love that hat. And then start criticizing it. You're going to look at it and you're going to say, just have an awareness. Again, I love this conversation and your body piece journey and journal that you're offering to people. It is an awareness practice. And I think, I know that those 20 questions are going to bring a hyper awareness to you. So you can then start on your journey through self-discovery, that awareness, and self-love, which is super important, in the BODY that you currently have. And watch the magic unfold when you start providing that love to yourself as you are. Mind-blowing, right, Nina?
Totally. Absolutely. It's really possible to heal the relationship you have with your body and your food. Absolutely.
Oh, okay, I'm going to write. And you said body positive. Let me see, because we didn't want to spell out the whole name. What was it?
Body Peace with Nina.
Body Peace with Nina. Yeah, I only have the other ones, but I'll spell it out for everybody. Yeah. Body Peace with Nina. And also go on and get the 20 questions. The Body Peace, it's a journal and a journey, right?
It is a journal and a journey. Practicing Body Peace. Yeah.
Practicing totally Body free. Peace. Do you have any events coming up?
I do. In the fall, I have a compassionate eating course coming.
Compassionate eating course. Oh, what's that like?
So we really dive into that kind of gap between what I should do and what I actually do. And because often we end up in that pit of shame.
Yes.
And so how do we shift out into, instead of that aggressive relationship with our food, into a kind and caring and compassionate relationship with our food?
I love it. All right, you guys. Nina, thank you so much. This has been an so timely, so beautiful. And of course, you know, coming into summer too, because everybody's going to go into that bathing suit shame conversation, men and women alike. I know you, audience. I love you. You're queens and kings as you are. Nina, what an absolute delight. I know you've got to get
going.
Thank
you, Sue.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Blessings to you, your journey, and all the people that you are touching. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, audience, Sue here. It is Tapped In and Turned On. It's your life, right? And it's having that conversation, that self-love, that conversation with you, getting to that or having that process in place before the shiitake hits the fan is the number one thing that you've got to do. I know I have it. Do I do it all the time? No. And that's where I go off kilter. So I know that at least I'm in that awareness, and then I can self-regulate and come back to my homeostasis and then make clear choices about how I am showing up and not having shame and guilt about any of that. What a great, great day today with Nina. Benny, thank you so much. Big love to all of you in the audience. I love you guys. And each of you are a gift. Get out there and share yourself with the world.